Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
As I drive around the Mon Valley, more and more I see solar panels on people's house. And if you drive out through central Pennsylvania, you see a lot of wind turbines, especially places like Somerset County and Bedford County. But despite that, renewables are having a hard time catching on in Pennsylvania. A new study says that Pennsylvania ranks second from the bottom in the adoption of renewable energy, which is a strange thing. And wondering what the cause of that is, what some of the objections to moving to renewables are, and what some of the benefits are. Ellie Kearns is joining us on the line. She's a climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment Research and Policy Center. That's who released the study this past week. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for taking some time to talk with us. First things first, tell us a little bit about this study that was released a couple of days ago about renewables in Pennsylvania. We're 48th out of 50 states. That's not very good.
Yeah, it isn't that good, but I will say last year we were 50th.
So okay.
We're a little bit better.
What's the deal?
Yeah, a tiny bit better.
What's the deal?
So, yeah, our report was called Renewables on the Rise. And it looks at six key clean energy technologies in states over the past decade: solar power and wind power, battery storage, energy efficiency, EVs, and EV charging. And basically looked at the growth of all of these different factors over the past decade. And we found that, unfortunately, like, Pennsylvania does have a good amount of renewable energy. As you mentioned, you're seeing solar panels everywhere. We've got some great wind farms in central PA. But the rate at which we are installing all of this renewable energy is so much slower than the rest of the nation. We are being outpaced by our neighbors. Everyone else is doing more for renewables than we are right now, and by the nation at large.
We talk about this red-blue divide, and there's an election coming up, obviously, in case anybody hasn't heard already. And I'm wondering if this is one of those other things that has been politicized somehow. Is that showing up in your research at all?
One might think, but actually, while we aren't surprised that California is a renewable energy hub, so is Texas.
I was just going to say, it's
Texas
not
has
the,
so much solar and wind.
It's not the so-called blue states that are so big on the uptake. Iowa, Oklahoma, Kansas, South Dakota, I think your study says 70% of their electricity sales now are coming from renewables.
Yeah, it's just the smart economic thing to do. And there are red, purple, blue states that are making the most of renewable energy all across the country.
And talk a little bit about the methodology. Well, first of all, let's back up. We're talking this morning with Ellie Kearns from Penn Environment Research and Policy Center. Tell us a little bit about what Penn Environment does, first of all.
Yeah. So Penn Environment, we're a statewide environmental citizen advocacy nonprofit. So we work to ensure that all Pennsylvanians have clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and a livable climate to call home. And one of the best ways that we do that work is by elevating citizen voices in our state legislature to make real change happen at the policy level. And we really hope to reflect what our members and what citizens in general really care about. And environmental issues there's a wide variety of them, but the one that I focus on is protecting our climate and making the most out of clean energy, both environmentally and economically.
Do you have a website that people can check for more information?
Yeah, you can check us out at pennenvironment.org.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Pennenvironment.org, that's easy enough to remember. Ellie Kearns is our guest this morning. We're talking about a new study that Pennsylvania ranks second from the bottom, third from the bottom, and renewable energy growth, which is an improvement over last year when we were at the bottom, absolutely at the bottom. And as we were talking about before I interrupted you there, it really is the plain states and western states that have grabbed this renewable energy idea and run with it. Montana getting 32% of its energy now from renewables, Wyoming 54%, New Mexico 63%. I guess with some of these states, you would imagine that, you know, they're plain states or they're very sunny, it's very hot there, that they might get a lot from solar, for instance, or from wind if they're out on the plains. But North Dakota's not particularly warm. and I don't know that it gets particularly a lot of sun, but they've had a big uptick in renewables, 51% of their energy from renewables now.
Yeah, absolutely. I will even say, too, like the New England area is getting a lot more energy from renewables as well, and the Southeast, and all of our neighbors here in the Mid-Atlantic. So there are states that are making the most of it all across the country. And Pennsylvania, like, we have a largely untapped, huge potential for renewable energy. We have great places to do wind. We have great places to do solar. We have a lot of opportunity, but we just haven't made the most of it yet.
And
most of our
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
Most of our neighboring states have made stronger commitments for the amount of energy that they want to get from renewables. A lot of states have set very, very optimistic 100% renewable energy goals. And of course, that's our long-term goal here at Penn Environment as well. But there are also states who have set ones of doing 30% renewable energy by 2030 or 2040. And even that really helps jumpstart their clean energy economies. So that's something that we're really hoping to get passed here in Pennsylvania as well.
You alluded to this a few minutes ago, but let's dig a little bit deeper into this. When we talk about renewables, what all falls under the rubric of renewables? What can we classify as a renewable energy source?
Yeah, renewable energy is something that can always keep going. My favorite examples are solar, because the sun is always going to shine, and wind, because the wind is always going to blow. And it doesn't rely on finite resources like oil and coal, which we're eventually going to run out of in our Earth.
Can it also be, though, things like geothermal, hydropower, those sorts of sources as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a slight difference between clean energy and renewable energy.
Okay.
But generally, geothermal and hydroelectric, even those new technologies where people capture the energy as you walk on pavement or getting energy from waves, like, all of that falls under the umbrella of clean energy.
When I was a kid, there was this great concern that the United States was going to hit peak oil and peak gas. And since then, there have been a lot of new technologies, hydraulic fracking, tar sands, things like that, that they have been able to extract energy from. So I don't think peak oil is no longer the concern, but dependence certainly on foreign imported sources of compressed natural gas and oil, I think, are a concern. How do renewables help us address not just the clean air and water, which I want to get into a little bit later on in the half hour, but how does it help address reducing our dependence on foreign sources?
Yeah, I'll say there's no greater energy independence than having wind and solar power on your own soil. And especially for individual homeowners, with rooftop solar, you can get reliable and independent energy straight from your roof, straight from your own property. So being able to have it reliably homegrown is a great reason to invest in renewable energy.
I actually,
both utility scale and individually.
We've had a little bit of a delay. I apologize for that. I actually hear stories from friends of mine that their electric meters go backwards sometimes. Is that actually a thing that happens?
Absolutely. There are a lot of people who install rooftop solar who see their energy bills go to zero, who produce more energy on top of their home than they even use and can deliver back to the utility grid and get money in return for that. So it's a great investment. Absolutely.
We have a 30-second break coming up, but you said something else, which is, you know, obviously what is more renewable than the sun, but you mentioned wind. Can people actually have wind turbines on their own property? I never even thought about that as an option.
It's definitely not as common.
Especially in urban areas, I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they're usually on larger scale wind farms. But even the Eagle Stadium actually has those smaller turbines.
Okay.
So there are smaller options available, probably not the best for an individual home, but definitely businesses or like larger scale, like college campuses could definitely make use of them. It's all about finding the technology that fits right for you.
Pennsylvania falling behind other states in renewable energy production and adoption. A new study from Penn Environment, which came out just a few days ago, says that Pennsylvania ranks 48th out of 50 states in the nation. The plain states and western states really taking up, in some cases, 40, 50, 60% of their energy now coming from renewable sources. We have to take a break, Ellie. When we come back, I want to ask you about some common misconceptions. We've heard them. We've heard politicians say them. We've heard our neighbors or friends post on Facebook. Well, what happens when the wind stops blowing? What happens when the sun isn't out? And also, I want to ask you about how renewables maybe can help mitigate some of the impact of climate change. We've had some very severe weather in our part of the country over the past few years. Wanted to ask you about that as well. Okay?
Yeah.
Ellie Kearns is climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment Research and Policy Center. You can find out more at pennenvironment.org, and you can also get their study, Renewables on the Rise, at their website. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
We're talking renewable energy sources. That could be solar and wind, probably the most common things we think of, but also hydropower, geothermal, and other sources. Ellie Kearns is on the line with us. She's from Penn Environment. They have a new study out called Renewables on the Rise 2024, which documents the growth of six clean energy technologies across the United States. It ranks states accordingly for solar power, wind power, battery storage, energy efficiency, electric vehicles, and electric charging stations. Pennsylvania, 48th in the country out of 50 states in electric or in adoption of clean energy sources, renewable energy sources, and the folks at Penn Environment wondering what they can do to move the needle on that. But we've had some severe weather in the forecast. I know there are some lay people and maybe political leaders who disagree on the impacts of man-made effects on climate change. But from what I've seen, 98% of scientists agree that burning fossil fuels, putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is increasing global temperatures. It's increasing the amount of severe weather. How can renewable energy sources address cutting back our carbon dioxide emissions and also other particulates, things that cause lung diseases, for instance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, transitioning to clean renewable energy is a key strategy in phasing out the carbon pollution that we need to by 2050, as scientists say, to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. Renewable energy sources aren't associated with the carbon pollution, and having more of our energy come from renewable sources also improves our health, as you said, by reducing those other hazardous air pollutions. And particularly, it can also increase our safety by protecting us from the hazards of extracting, transporting, and processing dangerous fuels.
Ellie, one thing that we've heard is, I don't know if this is a misconception or not, is that people have alleged that building the wind turbines or making solar panels, manufacturing solar panels, is actually produces just as much carbon or produces just as much pollution as burning fossil fuels in a conventional power plant, a gas-fired, coal-fired power plant. Is that accurate or no?
It's definitely something that we want to keep in mind, mm-hmm. but the benefits of using the renewable energy outweigh any of the emissions associated with creating them. And we found that solar panels, even lithium and lithium ion batteries, the pieces of the wind turbine, they can be recycled generally and used again and reformatted, unlike fossil fuels, where it's very much a one and done. As soon as you burn it, that's it. It's in the atmosphere. It's polluting our air for the next hundreds of years and really accelerating warming up our climate. So we definitely want to be careful, but the positives so outweigh any of the associated emissions associated with production that it's a no-brainer to continue on this path of renewable energy.
Ellie Kearns is climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment Research and Policy Center, pennenvironment.org. The new study is called Renewables on the Rise 2024. I don't think about battery storage, and that's come up a few times. And why is battery storage an important part of the renewable energy process?
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, people say, like, what happens when the sun isn't shining anymore? What happens when the wind stops blowing? And battery storage is a really crucial element to pair with all of that renewable energy so that we can continue to use it when we need. Because we know that wind and solar can really produce a surplus of energy when we need it. But what happens at night? And that's where the storage element comes in to make sure that we can have consistent energy throughout the day and each night when paired with renewable energy.
Is that something that is done only on sort of the commercial industrial scale? Is that something like a utility provider, for instance, has those storage batteries, or is that something that consumers do as well? I'm sorry to be so ignorant of this, but I'm fascinated.
No, yeah, it can be both at utility scale and in an individual homeowner scale. Lots of people with EVs kind of have it built in, a little bit of battery storage. Often people who install rooftop solar will install batteries as well, and it's what can keep their home running, even in cases of extreme weather, when the neighborhood's power will go out, but people with rooftop solars will still have power and will have battery banks in order to keep their home running for the foreseeable future.
So if the sun is not out, and we know that we have a lot of cloudy days in the Pittsburgh area, if the sun is not out, you're not offline. You're contrary to what some people would say, your refrigerator doesn't die or your microwave doesn't not work or whatever. You still have power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ellie Kearns is with Penn Environment, and we're talking about the new study, Renewables on the Rise. You can get that at pennenvironment.org. Talk to me about electric vehicles, because I have seen a lot on the road. I work during the day in Oakland, so of course I'm around the universities, and around the universities, of course, folks tend to be the early adopters of these kinds of technologies. So I see a lot of Chevy Bolts and Volts and Nissan Leafs, and is it Leafs or Leaves, and Teslas around on the streets. But I'm hearing, you know, in the communities that we cover in the Mon Valley, places like Braddock Borough in East Pittsburgh talking about wanting to have EV charging stations. Why are electric vehicles, why is the uptake, and I know sales have actually dropped a little bit in 2024, but why have people been so quick to finally, or why are people adopting now electric vehicles?
Yeah, I think a big source of this uptick is thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act.
Okay.
There's a lot of money for people to purchase an electric vehicle. You can get a tax credit of up to $7,500 for purchasing new electric vehicles, and a tax credit of $4,000 for purchasing a used EV.
Okay.
And that's just from the federal government. The state, it depends on when they open the funding each year, but the state, there's usually some funding available as well to help you purchase an EV. So there's a lot of reasons to help or to go EV. And there's a lot more infrastructure that's being built out in Pennsylvania. Over the next few years, we're going to see more and more charging stations popping up, especially along major throughways throughout the state. And it'll
they're
just
all
be
over
a lot,
the,
lot more
they're all
common
over the
to
Pennsylvania
see.
Turnpike. They're at a lot of Sheet stations now, and other brands of gas station. I don't want to just single out one brand. They're at a lot of those now. But is this something else that your research, your study has showed, that is Pennsylvania lagging behind in electric vehicle adoption too, or are we up there with other similar states?
We're doing pretty well. For how big of a state we are, we're probably not exactly where we should be, but we ranked 14th for EV registration growth.
Okay.
And 11th for EV charging. So not bad. We're doing pretty good. Could definitely still be doing better.
Well, and there, I don't want to say that this study was entirely negative. One of the things you point out is that Pennsylvania has tripled the amount of solar energy that it's producing compared to just 5 years ago. So there are some signs of life, so to speak, or some promising signs in this study as well about Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely. We are on the right track. We're just being outpaced by everybody else. So we just need to kick it into high gear to really jumpstart our renewable energy economy. But that doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. We're doing a lot. We just need to do more.
What's the economic impact of this in terms of job creation? I know there's been a lot of talk. There's a renewable energy or energy storage company that is in Turtle Creek, PA right now. I know they've gotten a lot of headlines. Obviously, you need electricians to install charging stations. You need line workers to go out and upgrade power systems, install storage areas, things like that. Are we seeing an economic impact from renewables as well?
Yeah, renewable energy overall has become so much cheaper over the years, as the technology has improved and become more efficient and available. And when it comes to grid scale and utility scale, those projects obviously create jobs and can really blossom the work economy. But then after these projects have been implemented, the energy that we get from them is often cheaper. From these new projects than getting them from existing coal and gas plants.
Let's pause there. We have a second break, and the time goes very quickly. I apologize for that. And let's pick it up there because I think that's the number one question that for me or for any average listener is this going to cost me money? And I have another question, which I know is a sensitive topic, and that is if I work in the fossil fuel industry, if I work for a natural gas provider or for a coal mining, and I know mining has been on the decline for a long time. But we still have a lot of coal mines in Western Pennsylvania, Northern West Virginia. If I work for one of these places, is my job at risk? So let's talk about that, okay? Ellie Kearns is climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment, pennenvironment.org. You can check out the study, Renewables on the Rise 2024. Pennsylvania ranks 48th in the nation. We're getting our butt kicked, to put it in the vernacular, by the Western states and the Plain states in terms of the amount of energy that we get from renewable sources. From the Two City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Back for a final few minutes with Ellie Kearns from Penn Environment, pennenvironment.org. The new study is called Renewables on the Rise. They have actually a whole dashboard. If you go to the website, you can click on different states and you can see what other states are doing as well. And boy, oh boy, if you're a Steelers fan, or even if you're an Eagles fan, I guess, but if you're a Steelers fan, boy, you really got to be upset that we're losing out to Texas, we're losing out to Arizona, we're losing out to some of these the Plain states and the Midwestern states. So I mentioned, and you mentioned that you drive along major highways. Pennsylvania Turnpike, I know, has charging stations at most of the rest stops now for electric vehicles. So do a lot of the interstates. But you also have on the Pennsylvania Turnpike a lot of billboards that say coal keeps the lights on, or natural gas keeps the lights on. It is still a big industry in Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Ohio. What's the economic impact going to be on the jobs of people who work in the fossil fuel industries, and how are we going to help them?
Our big focus is for this in particular is that we know we're just going to continue to use more energy as we electrify. So a big focus is making sure that the new energy that we get is from renewable sources in particular. Eventually, we're going to have to transition fully away from all fossil fuels in order to just save the planet. It comes down to that, which is crazy. But obviously, it's going to take time. So the goal is just to make sure that everything that we do now, we shouldn't go backwards and invest more in oil and coal. We need to make sure those new investments are in renewable sources. And that's going to spur jobs in new industries as well.
But
I know
acknowledging
it's
that
definitely a concern for folks.
it's going to cause some pain for some folks at some point, right? I mean, we do have to acknowledge that fact.
This comes down to what we need to do. To make sure that we can still live on this planet and still have a planet to call home.
Yeah. I want to ask you before we sign off, because the local borough, we're talking with Ellie Kearns, by the way, climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment, for a few more minutes about their new study, Renewables on the Rise, about how Pennsylvania is lagging other states, including so-called red states, western states, in clean energy and renewable energy production and renewable energy uptake, including use of electric vehicles. We're 48th out of 50 states altogether. I want to ask you, though, before we sign off this morning, the borough where I live, for instance, has warned people about people coming around and signing them up for supposedly green energy or renewable energy that turns out to be scams. I've also talked to a couple of my neighbors who have been approached to have solar panels installed on their houses because they've heard the same stories that you and I have witnessed, people's electric meters going backwards, even in cloudy Pittsburgh sometimes because the solar panels are so successful. But some people have reported they've been scammed. How can consumers protect themselves from, you know, for lack of a better word, a renewable energy scam or a green energy scam artist?
Yeah, it's absolutely the exact same things that you want to keep in mind when you're doing any home improvement project. Doing your research, being a little bit cautious, and making sure that anything that sounds too good to be true is actually true. And one of the most common renewable energy installations that people do is rooftop solar. On our website, we have a helpful guide called Installing Rooftop Solar Panels in Pennsylvania that walks consumers through how to go about looking for and installing rooftop solar. And some of the key things that consumers should check when choosing a solar installer is making sure that you check reviews, request quotes, and verify company's experience. It's also definitely helpful to go with an in-state or local installer who's going to be familiar with any particular regulations and permitting requirements in your area. Something to keep in mind is that rooftop solar is very individualized, and not every roof is a good candidate for solar. So definitely schedule a few consultations to find the best fit. And remember that a free consultation is the industry standard. And be aware of anyone pressuring you to buy an expensive system on the spot.
And a solar system does not mean you're not connected to the grid. So again, at night, or when the sun is not out, or it's cloudy, your refrigerator doesn't shut off, your furnace doesn't shut off, your air conditioning doesn't shut off. You're not stranded. What you're doing is you're cutting back the amount of fossil fuel that your local energy provider, and in most cases now it's natural gas, has to actually burn. You're putting some energy back into the system, which means that's less fossil fuel that they're burning, which is less carbon dioxide that's going up into the environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. It's a fascinating study. It's written so that the average person, including someone like me, can understand it. And the dashboard is fascinating too, to go around and look around the country at what other states are doing. Pennsylvania ranks 48th in the nation for the rate of growth in solar, wind, and geothermal generation. Those are sort of clean energy sources or renewable sources. Check out the report, Renewables on the Rise 2024. It's actually at environmentamerica.org, but you can get there through the Penn Environment website, pennenvironment.org. Ellie Kearns is a climate and clean energy advocate with Penn Environment. Ellie, thank you so much. Very interesting topic. And like I said, I see more and more people with solar panels on their roof in my neighborhood. So I know there's a lot of interest out there in this. So I guess it's going to continue to grow. Maybe next year we won't be 48th. Maybe we'll move up in the pack a little bit.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We're hoping to just keep getting a little bit better every year.
And thank you all thank you, Ellie, for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online. We'll